I'll be singing number 25. I am his and he is mine. Alright. Let's pray and begin. Uncle Man and Lady. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, again for this opportunity to be in your house. I pray that you would bless it, Lord, that you would take this time and work in our hearts and minds. Be with our brothers and sisters wherever they might be. And Lord, we pray most importantly for your will to be done, for chastening and encouragement, for strengthening and comforting, for wisdom, Lord. Father, you know what we need, and I pray that you would supply our needs this day. Please continue to work in the hearts and minds of lost souls, Father, especially in the hearts and minds of our leaders. We know, Lord, many have given themselves over to the devil, and maybe even a reprobate mind. But I pray you, please, we know that, Lord, that you have even said that for all the wicked things that people do, people can still be washed, sanctified, and justified through the blood of your Son, Christ Jesus. Please be with our relatives, Lord. Please save those lost souls. Please edify those that are saved. Please be with those that are sick, especially Steve at this particular time. Frank, in preparation for him getting over his surgery, come Easter Sunday, or Easter Good Friday, I think it is. For Monica's mom, for Norman as well, Lord, with this splutter that he has. For all of us, Lord, I pray you please, your good hand upon us. Prepare us physically, mentally, and spiritually to face the week. To always be, never to be found wanting. We love you and praise you. We leave these things at your feet, Father. We pray that you would grant them according to your will. And please don't be done with us, Father. Amen. Right, let's sing. Let's sing. We'll start with 414. The new version, sorry, not the new version, but the new to us version of Stand Up for Jesus. We can do that.
Can I stand by, Marcus?
We can't stand up whenever, or we can't sit down whenever we sing Stand Up for Jesus. We'll do a trial run of a verse first, and then you get the idea.
Not
sing number 27 in the wee black books next, but does everyone remember what songs it was that they asked for? Because I seem to have.
185, Mark.
185?
Yeah.
Thank you. I don't know what happened there. My Savior's love. Priest must have come out of the page. Anyway, I'll give you a rest this time. Nearer my God today. Number 27 of the week black. Let's make a joyful noise.
Nahum chapter 3.
woe to the bloody city, there's all full of lies and robbery, the praise of harsh laughs, the noise of a whip, and the noise of the rattling of the wheels, and of the prancing horses, of the jumping chariots, the horseman, this took off both the bright sword and the clipping spear, and there's a multitude of slain, and a great number of carcasses, and there's none end of their corpses, they stumble upon the corpses, because of the multitude of the whoredoms of the well fear retarded, the mistress of witchcrafts, that self nations fear whoredoms, and families fear witchcrafts. Go then against thee, saith the Lord of hosts, and I will discover thy spirit upon thy face, and will show the nations thy likeness, and the kingdoms thy shame, and I will cast abominable filth upon thee, and make thee vile, and will set thee as a gazing stock. And shall come to pass that all they that look upon thee shall flee from me, and say, Nineveh is laid waste. Who will bemoan her? When shall I seek conquerors for thee? Art thou better than populous snow that was situate among the rivers, that had the waters round about it, whose rampart was the sea, and her wall was from the sea? Ethiopia and Egypt were her strength, and it was infinite. Put and Lubim were thy helpers. Yet was she carried away, she went into captivity. Her young children were also dashed in pieces at the top of all the streets, and they cast lots for her honourable men, and all her great men were bound in chains. Thou also shalt be drunken, thou shalt be hit. Thou also shalt seek strength because of the enemy. All thy strongholds shall be like fig trees, for the first strike figs, if they be shaken, they shall even fall to the mouth of the eater. Behold, thy people in the midst of thee are ruined. The gates of the land shall be set wide open unto thine enemies. The fire shall devour thy bars. Draw thee waters for the siege. Fortify thy strongholds. Go into clay and tread the mortar. Make strong the brick kiln. There shall the fire devour thee. The sword shall cut thee off. It shall eat thee up like the cankerworm. Make thyself many as a cankerworm. Make thyself many as a locust. Thou hast multiplied thy merchants above the stars of heaven. The cankerworm spoileth and flieth away. The crowd are as the locust, and the captains as the great grasshoppers, which camp in the hedges of the cold day. But when the sun ariseth, they flee away, and the place is not known where they are. As shepherds slumber, O king of Assyria, and no one shall dwell in the dust. Thy people are scattered upon the mountains, and no man guardeth them. There is no healing of thy bruise, and the wound is grievous. All that hear the fruit of thee shall clap the hands over thee, for whom? For upon whom hath not thy goodness passed in me? Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Jim. Paint a pretty picture of Nineveh. I think there's a lot of what went on there is going on here. Verses number 4 and 5 just sound exactly the way so many leaders in our countries have sold out their countries for a moment or two of pleasure. Amen. Just want to remind everybody, don't forget to pray for Steve and for Pat. Norman's still not 100%. Pray for him as well. Pray for Monica's mom. Frank is going to be heading for surgery, for dental surgery on the 7th, isn't it? So that is, it's just over a fortnight. No, a bit longer than that, way. Anyway, it's Good Friday, I think it is, isn't it? So he'll not be having anything for Easter dinner, I don't think, unless it's liquidised and through a straw, but please do pray for him. He's been working up to this, I think, for the last 6 or 7 years, so please have to wait until he reached maturity. Good job they weren't waiting on that for me. But pray for Frank. Preparations for surgeons, mum and dad, I'm sure, are concerned. Please remember that. Pray for Colin. He's in Ukraine at the moment. Did you hear the bit that I read? Things are getting interesting over there. Doesn't look like he's being allowed to join any squads, if that's what they call it, or companies. They're not taking any more foreigners in case they start over to Russia. Please just remember him when you can. Pray for all the folks that get leaflets, that hear a word of God, that they get a chance to witness to. There are people out there that are still appreciate the Word of God. A lot of them don't realize it, but every single word that you pass on to somebody else, it does. The Lord reserves the right to remind people of that just at like 3 o'clock in the morning when they wake up with night terrors or wondering what it's all about. So please do pray about that. Pray for our country. Pray for our banks. I want to say pray for our banks, but they're really a bunch of thieves. And they do nothing but take people's money and spend it whatever way they like, and then the people have to pay for it whenever they lose it. So pray for the banks that they discharge their duty properly, and people are able to hold on to their earnings. We live in difficult times. Just pray for each other. Keep your eyes on the Lord. Read your Bible. Say your prayers. Keep yourself right with God. Don't let anyone ever have occasion to point a finger at you. Always do God first. Someday I'll be back. The only thing that's going to matter is what you did for Jesus. If you get saved, what did you do for me? Amen. Let's pray. Dear loving Heavenly Father, we know there's a bunch of stuff going on in the world, but we know that you know all things. And for us trying to navigate everything that is going on in the world right now, we just drive us round the twist. So Lord, let us remember all this just to keep our eyes upon you. Even if we only get our instructions a minute or two ahead of times, let us keep our eyes upon you and our ears open too. There's a lot of folks that's not well. I know Norman and Pat Hain and Steve and Pat as well. I pray you too for Christine and Mary Ann. For Frank as he prepares to have surgery. For all those, Lord, that love you and that are just not 100%, I pray your good hand upon us all, Lord. Please put your good hand upon Stan and Karen and the family up in Bangor and Stuart and Jennifer too. And Jennifer as she tends to her mother and her family affairs over in the Philippines, Lord. Mum's not very well. Please. In fact, is her mum still alive? I don't know. Please do pray for Jennifer's family. Father, we love you and thank you. Please just use this as a capping off for the start of the week and a preparations for us too. Lord, you know. We love you and thank you. Pray for our private prayer requests. Lord, especially for getting the wood and the porch and stuff sorted out. We leave these things at your feet and pray that you would grant them according to your will. Amen. Amen. Let's sing another one or two of those songs. We will leave that one until later. We'll take the big 10 books and we'll go to 185. 185, if you're fit, let's stand as we sing My Savior. 185, My Savior. Amen. do number 5 in the wee black book, and then we'll close the service out with number 25. Number 5 is the Lord is my shepherd.
Good, old, faithful, old son. Disciples, he said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, unto what then were you baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Jesus Christ, in Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. And all the men were about 12. And he went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months,
disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. But when divers were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of that way before the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. And this continued by the space of 2 years, so that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord, both Jews and Greeks. And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and evil spirits went out of them. Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, We adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preacheth. And there were 7 sons of one Sceva, a Jew, and chief of the priests, which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are ye? And the man in whom the evil spirit was leapt on them, and overcame them, and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. And this was known to all the Jews and Greeks also dwelling at Ephesus, and fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. And many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. Many of them also which used curious arts brought their books together and burned them before all men, and they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. We're going to take verses 13 through 20 as our text. We're speaking on the subject of a friend of a friend, and going to pay particular attention to verse number 15, where the evil spirit answered the 7 sons of Sceva and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? Friend of a friend. Let's have a quick word of prayer, and then we will jump right in. Would you be okay to lead us, well, if you would, please?
If I have this night, Lord, if I can bring us safely in your house tonight, Lord, give all our services, and this service in particular, Lord, we use it to identify the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and thy good and heavenly name as well, Lord. See so safe this night, this day, Lord. See the mighty name, your glory be established right there, Lord, as it should, and rightly should be, Lord. We have some dialogue. We remember Frank, Lord, helping this operation, Lord. Give him call, Lord, let us come in trouble, Lord. But the pit has fallen, keep safe and well, from any harm. Says well, said God's good mentally, or physically, or any other harm we might face, Lord. Also, give Stephen Patrick Griffin, also, Lord, heal Steve, Lord, and strengthen him as well, Lord. Also, heal Norman as well, Lord, give him the boost he has, and heal him, give him strength, Lord, and bring back to about his health as well, Lord. Good as John Bradford, give him, keep safe and well, Lord, heal him mightily and powerfully, and may he grow in the and thy son as well, Lord. Good Patrick, help him in her weakness, Lord, and strengthen her also, Lord, to bring the parents to discover and bless her and keep her, Lord. Good for the churches round about the missionaries, Lord, and the truly saved missionary men and ministers and evangelists and pastors, Lord, and other Christian workers are saved by the nice Son, Lord. And Lord, you may use them mightily tonight, Lord, by the touch of the Spirit, Lord, and that the name of Jesus may be mightily magnified, Lord. And Lord, may you may touch the souls of those who are lost, and those who are backslidden, Lord, souls may be mightily saved, Lord, and brought back to the nice Son and back to loving relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and saving grace as well, Lord. Bless us tonight, Lord, and give us a start new week, Lord. Give us a gift, Lord, and may you and your Son be at the forefront of that, of our lives, Lord. And may people see it, Lord, and give thy great name glory, Lord, for the work good things you've given us in our lives, especially salvation. Bless us and give us your heart as a country of the gospel, Lord. May we have a blessing upon us as well. For Jesus Christ again, amen.
Thanks. Friend of a friend. Just to give a little bit of background, we haven't done very much in Acts of late. I think Christy might have spoken once. Christy was doing a Bible study through here before he departed the church. And some there's a lot of excellent scriptures everywhere in the Word of God. But it's worth
thinking on some of the great educational lessons that there are to be learned, and we're speaking about a friend of a friend. And we're speaking in particular this evening about these seven men who, for some reason, which we will come to in just a minute, decided that they would be able to do the same as Paul the Apostle in casting out demons and healing diseases and one thing and another. And they go to see a guy that is possessed of devils and say, "We adjure you, or we command you, by Jesus whom Paul preacheth." Now these guys were the sons of one of the high priests. It says, chief of the priests, sons of one Sceva, a Jew, and chief of the priests, which did so. And I love what the devil said to these men. He says, "I know Jesus, and I know Paul, but I don't know you." In other words, I acknowledge the authority and power of Jesus, and I acknowledge the authority and Paul of the authority and power of Jesus through Paul, but you're nothing to do with them. And the Bible records this one man, spirit possessed, demon possessed, jumped on them, beat the living daylights out of them, even ripped and tore and took their clothes, and the Bible says sent them away naked and wounded. And this just spoke to me so many times about so much of what's going on in the world today. And one of the things that happened here after this was, it was a great and notable thing. Not just the success and the victory of God, but the failures of ungodly men to cope with and to deal with things like demon-possessed men. It had such an impact on people, the failure of contemporary teachings, that a lot of people that had been involved in paganism, and if we were putting it out today, tarot card reading and tea leaf reading and crystal ball reading and using pyramids and who knows what else, tinfoil hats, that they took out all the stuff that they had in the house, in their houses, and burned it in a big bonfire. A public display of their confession and their rejection of everything that they had put into these lifestyles. What a lot of people don't realize is that the Christian life is quite literally as serious as a heart attack. It's not this airy-fairy life that you... what was the song that wee fella Alan Jones used to sing? "I'm walking in the air." And he has this wee voice that's away up there, and it sounds like you're floating through the clouds. And that's what a lot of people think the Christian life is about. And they don't realize that if you don't get it right, your life can drag you, can suck you down a sinkhole, and you'll disappear. You will end up broken if you are not standing on the solid rock. If you are not clinging to Jesus, you can end up wrecked. It's that important. People think it's something you can bolt onto your life and do whatever you like. That's not the way it works. It is a foundation. And if it's not laid properly, you're going to get what I've got on my porch. Moisture coming up through it. It's all very well for you. I'm sitting at the moment figuring out, am I going to hammer up the rest of that concrete, or will I just lay concrete over that concrete that has a wee bit of damp coming up? And I'm thinking, I think I'll just lay concrete over the top of it after I put a damp proof layer over the top of it, because there'll be damp somewhere in there. But anyway, these guys didn't realize that, and they thought, because as we read, the reason we read the little bit of the Bible before that was to show you the things that were happening to Paul. And again, everybody, they think of the great miracles that are carried out in people's lives. We spoke about this in George Mueller, it might have been last Sunday, about how it's, "Oh, I would love for those things to happen in my life. I would love for just to be thanking God for the food, and with nothing in the cupboards, and there are not come to the door. And Amazon Fresh or someone deliver a box that I hadn't ordered." I would love for that to happen. We would all love for that to happen, but I'll tell you the thing we're not so keen on is the getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning because God has got a burden in your heart and spent an hour in prayer. Reading the scriptures because you need something for your mind to chew on. In the same way, whenever you get up to do anything of a morning, your body needs some food, proper food to chew on to fire it up and get it going. We're not so keen on that. We're not so keen on stepping back ourselves and pushing Christ forward. We want. There's not very many people have got a grip of themselves to the point where they can say, God first and me second. What was it John the Baptist said? He must increase, but I must decrease. We're not keen on that. But Paul was doing miracles. People were saying, Paul, could you touch that handkerchief? It was not a bit like touching the hem of Jesus' garment. The power of God was working through Paul to show everybody that the words that he was speaking were actually of God. To prove it. Handkerchiefs were being taken from him. Not used ones, I'm sure. And bits of cloth. And they were being brought to people who were sick and they were being healed. They were brought to other people that were demon-possessed and the demons were leaving. People were, lives were being changed. Souls were being saved. And the credit was going to Paul. And from Paul to God. And you know what happened back in the days whenever you were like an itinerant preacher? People would put you up. They would say, you have to come to our house and stay for a few days. We want to hear the gospel. Just like Apollos here when Paul was explaining, have you received the Holy Ghost? And they're going, we haven't even heard if there is a Holy Ghost to be received. How have you been baptized? The baptism of John. Well, this is what the Lord said. Be baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and go and preach the gospel to every creature. Right! So they got baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. They started preaching the gospel in foreign languages so that all the people that Paul was visiting, remember Paul the Apostle to the Gentiles, different languages, different lands, were speaking different languages. And so those speaking in tongues spoke in different languages. Glorify God. He just heard the gospel in their language. And we know those guys don't speak our language. But there we hear it from. This can only be the finger of God. Stay with us. Have you heard about Paul? He's powerful. And I am sure these seven sons of Sceva, they were called exorcists. They were as lost as geese. Didn't know their left hand from their right hand. But my dad's a minister. And they were going around, not in the name of God, but probably in the name of the devil, making a name for themselves, getting money from people for themselves, getting glorified themselves for going through these wee song and dance routines. But whenever they saw Paul, and they heard Paul casting out devils in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, they thought they would try it too. You know what they thought God was? They thought God was a little penknife. That you could just take, and I could cut an apple with it, and you could take it from me, and you could cut an apple with it. That's what they thought the Holy Spirit was. But it's not like that. God is a person. God the Father is a person. God the Son is a person. God the Holy Ghost is a person. They have feelings. They have very, very firm opinions. God has laws and statutes and commandments, and he has one way to heaven. One way to experience the power of God in your life, and that is to get saved and to seek God out. And so, they thought they'd give it a shot. And they learned very quickly that being a friend of a friend when it comes to knowing Jesus, there's no good at all. They came off second best because they knew of Jesus, but they didn't know Jesus. And I got to thinking about that a little bit. Because that just speaks so very, very clearly, at least it did to me this afternoon, of the way so many people live their lives today. I don't know if it's the same today, but it used to be a great accolade in a family to have a son that was a minister or a priest, or a daughter that went to be a nun. In American circles, it's a big thing for a son or a daughter to go into missions. And so many of them come over to Northern Ireland from States, and they really suffer for Jesus over here with broadband, Amazon, eBay, Netflix. It's a real tough life over here for a missionary. I guarantee you. The accent's all funny and the food's all different in the island. It's a trouble of the woe. And having to survive on $8,000 to $9,000 and $10,000 a month. I tell you what, those folks know how to suffer for Jesus. Please forgive me for being sarcastic. Or don't, that's up to you. Do you know how many people think that they're okay because they have a relative that's a Christian? Do you know how many families I have seen destroy themselves because daddy was a minister and the children went bonkers? Do you know how many? I know of four families without even spending more than a moment just there now, where I could take you and show you children that went completely off the rails, thinking that they were okay because mummy or daddy or granny or granddad was a pastor and a great man well spoken of. People are out of church. People have left the straight and the narrow, and if indeed they were ever on it, or they were just running parallel for a little bit. Even as young people in church being treated like landed gentry or royalty because they had the same surname as the preacher. A friend of a friend is no good in Christianity, friends. The song says, "What a friend of a friend we have in Jesus." Isn't that what it says? No, it doesn't. It says, "What a friend we have in Jesus." Not what an acquaintance we have in Jesus, or what a passing knowledge of we have in Jesus. It says, "What a friend we have in Jesus." Do you know many people are living their lives right now that were christened in a church, they were went to Sunday school in a church, they maybe even did Bible class in a church, went to communion class, first communion, had all sorts of water thrown at them and all sorts of prayers said over them. And they're well acquainted with the minister, but they don't know Jesus Christ at all. And what do you think happens to them when they come up against real trouble? I'm going to tell you. Nothing good. How? And let's just cut straight to the quick. And I know over the past few years, and you will forgive me, it was a big thing in my life. I know I speak more than just occasionally about my time in hospital. It affected me. Because a lot of stuff doesn't bother me or doesn't matter to me anymore. But when I was lying in hospital, dying, for 3 days and three nights, maybe four, my blood pressure went up. First time I've ever been on blood pressure medication in my life, and it didn't do a thing for me. They were checking my blood sugars. They were doing blood tests every day. I was in painkillers day and night. The pain was as bad. I slept for about 3 hours until the IV paracetamol wore off, and then I would walk the corridors. I remember the fever was so high in the middle of winter, I opened one of the windows, a crack in the hall, and sat under it just to have the cold air roll over me. That was the only relief I got at night until one night I found that they would actually give me morphine and paracetamol at the same time. And I slept like a log that night, let me tell you. I walked, I moved, and do you see when I didn't? I prayed and I thanked God for saving me. And I rolled over some of those old Bible verses that we just happened to be working on as part of our Bible study in my head. And whenever I was lying, not fit to move, racked with pain, that was the only thing that sat in my mind. And I wasn't worrying about anything else in the world. I didn't even care what the doctors had to say. I was that far gone. The only thing that mattered to me was having Christ as my Savior. And I was glad that I had done a few things for him in this world. What do you have when you don't have that? What do you have when you don't have Jesus holding your hand, when you stand on the very edge of eternity? Everyone that is a friend of a friend of Jesus. Oh, I've heard of Jesus. And you're standing on eternity, but do you know Jesus? What do you be doing whenever the stupid thoughts are coming through your head? What do you be doing when the doctor says, if we can't break your blood pressure, you will die? What do you do? What do you do if you're not the one that's there, but you're the one that's standing by the one that's there? How do you face that little bit of eternity? How do you manage with that glimpse of eternity dawning on your soul? Who do you go to? What movie star is any good to you? Is Arnold Schwarzenegger strong enough to hold back death? Well, I don't think he is anymore. Who's the strongest movie star now?
The Rock.
Dwayne Johnson. Can he hold back death? Cannot indeed. Or the smartest man. Can he outwit death? What did you call that one where the fiddler played against the devil for his soul, that song? Is there anybody that musical that could beat the devil in whom the pipes and the music were built in? Is there anybody that can bargain with God whenever their time is up? I only know of one man in the Bible. One man that begged for a little bit more time. He cried and begged with God, and God gave him extra years, but they were a misery to him whenever he was ill. I'm going to tell you something. There is no substitute for that friend we can have in Jesus. None whatsoever. Whenever you meet up with the things of this world, our mums and our dads, they do their best to equip us to go out into the world so that we are able to keep going when they're gone. That is the whole purpose of parents, to set their children up so that they're able to keep a roof over their head, keep themselves clothed and fed, and their family if they choose to have them. That's the whole plan, so that they can survive. But every time you go face to face or toe to toe with the world is going to try and take off of you. It's going to try and take your money. It's going to try and take your time. It's going to try and take your vitality, your strength. And that's just life, because that's just what the world does. It will, you know the way people say, how come there's so much month left at the end of the money? It costs to live. And the world has always got its hand out in one form or fashion or another. Whenever people are invited to partake in sin, they're distracted from the cost whilst they indulge their pleasures and their lusts. And there's always a cost. There's a cost in health. There's a cost in broken hearts. There's a cost mentally. It can be wearying and wearing to have to continually go against the world. And if you don't have Jesus, for whom his mercies are new every morning, or who will give us this day our daily bread, as I pray sometimes, Lord, give us our daily bread, what we need every day. What are you going to do? The Lord referred to the devil as the God of this world. He referred to many of the religious people as the children of the devil. These religious people that put fear in people's hearts and took their money and took the glory and the praise that they were giving in order to work themselves to heaven. He called them the children of the devil. And that's exactly the way it still is today. It hasn't changed, not one little bit. The only thing that's going to change very soon is the fact that Jesus is going to be running this world. But what about those souls? Can you imagine the poor Roman Catholic or Protestant person or Muslim or Jehovah's Witness or Mormon that goes to their place of worship once, twice, three times, seven times a week? And they're told, if you do this, and if you do that, and if you hop through that hoop, and if you stand on your hands and put all your money in the plate, then everything will be fine. And they go through their whole lives thinking that, but when the rubber meets the road, it's catastrophic failure. I have a wee book that's called The Last Words of Saints and Sinners. And there are some amazing testimonies, even of little children who have trusted in Jesus, who were, after a period of sickness, and you're talking many years ago, were glad to go to meet their Saviour. And yet it talks of kings and queens of England even, educated and powerful people, who with an awful terror on their hearts begged and pleaded for 10 minutes more. I would give my whole kingdom for 10 minutes more. I think that was one of the queens of England. What does that show you? It shows you that there's nothing in this world that putting your faith in is going to see you from this world to the next. It also shows me that whenever the world abandons you and everything else has lost its sparkle and its shine, there is only one thing that will stand by, that will be that friend that's closer than a brother. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, and our Father which is in heaven. That is the only thing. And it's no good to you knowing of them. You need to know them. There's a lot of things the Bible promises us as children of God. Promises us peace in our hearts when we talk to him about everything. And whenever I say that in church, I'd be thinking of what's in people's minds is, oh, I should be doing more tracking. Well, maybe we should. Or I should be doing more street preaching. I probably should. I should be reading more of my Bible. I definitely should. And I should be spending more time in prayer. I really should. That's what most people think about whenever it comes to talking about God. But God is interested in the contents of your pocket. Your pocket knife, or your flashlight, or your phone. God is interested in the contents of your cupboards. Do you have enough food? God's interested in that. He cares about that. God cares about your car, because he knows that that can, all of a sudden, any one of these things can become all-consuming. God is interested in what bothers you and what annoys you. God is interested in the people that you care about and think about, that you minister to. God is interested in that. God is interested in he is so interested in everything that you and I do. Jesus even recorded in his word that he knows how many hairs you have on your head. He is interested in the most trivial thing about you and I. What makes you think he's not going to be interested in the things that bother you and annoy you? The things that help you get from one end of the day to the other. God is interested. And when you talk to him about these things, a lot of your cares and worries will just float away. In fact, it says the peace of God that passeth all understanding will keep your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. Whenever you come up against an insurmountable problem, God says, they that wait on the Lord will mount up with wings as eagles. They'll run and not be weary and walk and not faint. And I think it's 2 Samuel 22 or something like 20 or 22. It says, by my God have I run through a troop. By my God have I leaped over a wall. He will make my feet like hinds' feet and set me upon my high places. When I wait upon him, when I do things his way. These are the promises of God. Lost souls don't have that. They can't have that. Their father's the devil. Yeah, they might get a bit tired of being abused from him, and some of them might be asking, like, why am I living like this when my Christian friends can walk around with a smile on their face, even when the world does seem to be coming down around their ears? Yes, you will have the ones that are asking questions. Be ready to give them a wee answer. But God is so much for us. But even when we're put on the spot, say a wee prayer to the Lord and think of a Bible verse, and God will quite literally give you every single word you need to speak to someone. And don't worry about it. God said too that he'd never leave you. He'd never forsake you. And he'd never cast you out. You're so precious to him that all three parts of the Godhead are involved in keeping you. Jesus keeps you in the palm of his hand. His Father keeps you in the palm of his hand. And the Holy Spirit has you sealed on the inside whenever you're in there. You're sealed on the outside and on the inside. And Jesus is interceding for you as the accuser of the brethren. The old devil comes up pointing his finger. And God is listening to your prayers and dispatching angels to minister to you. And the Holy Spirit is comforting you and helping you remember those Bible verses, whether it's for yourself or whether it's for another soul. And the Holy Spirit is making you bolder and wiser if you ask him. He's not going to say, no, I want you dumb and stupid. It's not the Muslim religion. It's not the Protestant religion. It's not the Catholic religion. It's not the it's not the Jehovah's Witness. God says, I want my children smart. These are not the things that you bargain for, because let's be honest, friends. If not one of us can pay for our sins. And Jesus has done that already for free. All of these things are gifts from one friend to another. And all that he asks us to do is use them. If a soul lived till they were 200 years old, let's say 969 years old, like Methuselah. And just think about it for a moment. I think Methuselah trusted in God. I really do. His name means when I die, judgment comes. The longest living man that ever graced the face of the earth. 1,000 years nearly of God's patience. And the world just got worse and worse. Imagine living to 969 years, being a drinker and a smoker and a carouser, indulging every lust and every fantasy and every sensation, every pleasure, and thinking, this is amazing. 1,000 years of this. And then dying in your sins and going to hell for the endless ages of eternity. The Bible says, what use would that be to anybody? God loves each one of us so much. I don't even have the words to properly describe. And I'll never be able to thank him for it either. But he wants to be your friend. We were looking at Ezekiel this morning, and the words that the Lord said about Israel were, that I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. And that same phrase is mentioned at least a half a dozen times in the Old Testament. I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. I'm not dancing a jig. I'm not lording it over them. I'm not saying I told you so. It breaks my heart when people reject me. The when people turn their nose up at every single gift and promise and blessing that the Lord has for those that will trust in the Savior. It's just crazy. Do you know what it's really like? Everybody here uses a bin man. And they take away all the smelly stuff and all the rotten stuff and all the stuff you just can't do anything with anymore, don't they? They make you smell good and look good. They really do. And if they come up to you and said, here's £1,000 for your bin, you would go, are you crazy? Nope, I'm your friend. I love you. It is my pleasure to make you look good, smell good, and have your house tidy. Here's £1,000. What would you do? I'm taking it. I'm not proud. I'll take it. And we'll be back and we'll do the same next week. You mean you're coming back and you're going to give me more for my rubbish next week? Yep, as long as you live, all your rubbish, all your garbage will be taken care of. And we, because we love you, we just want to keep helping you out. You know, the bin men don't do that. It would be nice if they did. But that's what God does for us. And he doesn't just do that. That's like the bin men coming round and saying, here's £1,000 for your rubbish. I noticed your grass is a little bit long. I'll just run the mower out round it there for you right and quick. Why would you even do that for them? Or I just see your wall there is looking a bit grubby. Why don't we just hit it with the jet wash and knock all the rubbish off it and we'll spray some masonry paint on. Be good for 10 years. But why would you do that for me? And if the bin man says it's because we love you, that's exactly what Jesus is doing for us. I know we're all fairly long in the tooth here. We've all had friends, and some of them have stayed for a while, and many of them have gone. And sometimes it can be hard to relate to that whenever the world is giving you one duffin after another. It can be hard to relate to the term of good, honest to goodness, brotherly friendship. But that's how God feels about us. And that's what God wants for us. He doesn't just want for you to know of him. He doesn't just want you as a friend of him. He wants you as a friend closer than God. And if you love Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're selling yourself short if you don't cultivate that relationship. If you don't seek him out, you're selling yourself short. But he loves you, and he will go as far with you as you want to go with him, and he will do as much with you as you want to do with him, because he loves you. He's not a God of the far off. He's a God of up close and personal. That's what he wants for us. Honestly, might as well be honest and upfront. Talk to him about everything. Seek his help and direction in everything. Whether you think you're smart enough or not, the Bible said, we were looking at Solomon the other day, and he said there wasn't been a man as smart as that ever. God's prepared to give you a wee flake of that he gave to Solomon too, to make you wise. God loves you. He wants to be your friend. He wants to be your Savior, first of all. He is your God. He wants to be your Savior, but he wants to be your friend. All you've got to do is ask him. All you've got to do is tell him you're here. What do we do today? We'll stop there. Thank you for your good time. God bless you. The friend of a friend. Right. We have our closing hymn, which is, I am his and he is mine, number 25 in the black book. Let's sing this and then we'll be dismissed. Have a good one. And number 20, I am his and he is mine. If you're able, let's stand and bless us.
The prevailing.
will then stand. We'll have a wee prayer and we'll be dismissed.
Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord, for being with us. Thank you, Lord, for not being done with us. For your Son, Christ Jesus. And, Lord, for the life that you've laid out for us. Please bless each one of our heads, Lord. The heads that are bowed in your presence. Please honour us, Lord, as we honour you. I pray, too, for the sick, for private prayer requests, for family and friends that don't yet know you, Father. I pray that you would work their most noticeably in their lives. Take and use us, Lord. Prepare us for that use. And we just love you and thank you. Thank you for the day. And we ask it all in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Ladies and gents, you're dismissed. God bless you.